You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we return here today on a Thursday edition episode where we have a bunch of different things to talk about. With this kind of being, again, that lull period, kind of before free agency, before the draft, not really a ton going on right now. Some guys are getting released and signing elsewhere if they were released, such as the J.J. Watt sweepstakes are going on right now. Baltimore could be in the middle of that, although the Browns seem to be one of the reported favorites at this point. But some rumors are starting to trickle out, and so I do want to touch on a couple of those. But we did hear from Tyus Bowser on 105.7 The Fan. He had some things to say about his free agency. And the reason that I do want to go over these comments, I know we talked about Matthew Judon a couple episodes ago and what he had to say, but just going over how these guys are thinking right now, going into a potential huge payday, especially for Tyus Bowser, who played really, really well. It was the best football of his career, and he did it in a career year. Just hearing about what those guys have to say, how they're feeling, do they want to return to Baltimore? Are they open to going other places? Really, it's such an unknown right now, not just for everybody who's sitting at home and waiting to hear what's going on and who signs where and who goes where, but also for these players. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's in store for them and their careers. So just kind of hearing the mindset of these guys, I think, is really important. So we'll talk about Tyus Bowser and what he had to say on 105.7 The Fan in the first segment. Then in the second segment, we have a couple of mailbag questions that we didn't get to on yesterday's show, so we'll talk about them here today and answer those, a couple of really good ones. And then in the final segment, as promised, it's more mock drafts that I received via Twitter, and I actually might not have enough time to get into all of them today. So again, if your mock draft is not read today, we will round out the week with more mock drafts and talk about those on our Friday show. So it'll be a big week here for mock drafts, and honestly, probably moving forward based off of, again, how much engagement my mock draft Sunday tweets get. I mean, I'm fine with reading through tons and tons and tons of mock drafts. So talking about the draft and just getting familiar with some players, I think is really good to do right now, especially early in the process, so we can kind of see how they're being evaluated right now. And again, once free agency hits and once we get closer to the draft, we'll start to see draft board shift, draft needs shift. So it's kind of a process right now of just feeling out some prospects, seeing what their early returns are, and then as we get to pro days and a couple of other things like that, since the combine is going to be nowhere near what it usually is because of COVID, we'll see what ends up happening. But more mock drafts in our final segment today. So again, in the first segment, we'll be talking about Tyus Bowser's comments and what they mean. In the second segment, we'll answer some more mailbag questions. And in the final segment, we'll be taking a look at some more mock drafts that I received via Twitter. So with all that being said, we'll jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and where there's a podcast, we're there waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34 for any Ravens news, analysis, updates, trade talk, free agency rumors, draft rumors, and much, much more. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here, starting off with Tyus Bowser in the comments that he made on 105.7 The Fan. And Bowser is someone who is going to get paid a big amount of money. He had a phenomenal year in 2020 for this Baltimore team, had a career year in the final year of his deal, which is something that will benefit Bowser greatly as he's hitting this free agent market. Only had 2 sacks in 2020. He has 10.5 sacks throughout his entire career, but he had 34 total tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 14 quarterback hits, and also he dropped back in coverage quite a bit and had 5 passes defensed as well as 3 interceptions. So Bowser's kind of that do-it-all player in a do-it-all defense, because what you have with Bowser is someone who can do a bunch of different things, dropping back into coverage, rushing the passer, setting the edge, and in pretty much a positionless defense for most of the Baltimore defense, Bowser is a player who is extremely valued valued for that skill set, and a bunch of teams across the league will value that as well for him. So on 105.7 The Fan, when asked about his offseason, what his mindset is, he said, quote, "I'm an athlete. I think about this stuff. I've seen other guys go through it. In these trying times, you think about a lot of things. I definitely want to be back being with a great organization in Baltimore. I like what I was able to establish there. I understand also that it's a business and I have to weigh my options. It's just kind of sitting back really and let everything unfold. At this point, all I can do is wait," end quote. And this is about what most people's mindset is. Most free agents, I feel like, mindsets are during a free agency period, especially now, because during these times right now with the virus and with everything going on in the world right now, there are certainly a lot of things to think about, as Bowser said. But with Bowser, if he wants the money, if he values money over the organization he plays for, which I'm not bashing him for that, if that's the case, that's completely fine. He's going to earn every penny, and he deserves every penny that he gets in a new contract. Whatever he gets, I'll be completely happy for him, whether it's in Baltimore or whether it's somewhere else. But the reality for Tyus Bowser at this point is that I don't think Baltimore is going to have him high up on their priority list for a couple of reasons. Not because they don't want him back. I'm sure that Baltimore would love to have Tyus Bowser back in a Ravens uniform. That is probably what their main goal is trying to get their pass rushers back. Five out of their six pass rushers are entering free agency in 2021, so I think part of their goals are to bring back as many of those guys as they can for continuity. Now, obviously, that's just not possible with the cap the way it is right now, and with the Ravens having so many talented guys hitting free agency at the exact same time. But for Bowser, I think we're going to see kind of a Za'Darius Smith thing here, where Bowser has that career year. It didn't necessarily, again, come in sacks. He only had two in 2020, but he showed his value in a bunch of different places. So teams see that, and teams will offer him, I think, what he deserves, but it'll be out of Baltimore's price range. And especially, again, with Yannick Ngakoue being a free agent and Matthew Judon being a free agent, it's arguable that those two will end up costing more than Tyus Bowser. So I think that he understands that his future in Baltimore is pretty uncertain right now. I can definitely sense that from his comments, but it says a lot that Bowser does want to be back in Baltimore, that he would want to be back. And again, much like we've talked about with coach speak and with general manager speak, how much of this is true, how much of it is Bowser just being polite, obviously we'll never know, but it does say a lot that he's going out of his way to publicly praise the organization based off of, I think, what a lot of other people have said as well. Veterans coming to Baltimore, for example, you know, more recent examples being like Eric Weddle and Calais Campbell so far, but guys praising the organization and saying, yeah, I would want to be back in Baltimore. And even when they leave, it's, I had a great time in Baltimore. I left my teammates, this, that, and the other. So I think that that's pretty much kind of where Bowser is right now, and I think the team loves him as well. And Bowser drafted 47th overall in the second round, and I think that the Ravens kind of hoped he would become the player he did become. It took a couple of years for him, though. Bowser wasn't a stud by any stretch of the imagination over the first couple of years in the NFL, and we saw with fellow draftee in that same 2017 draft in Tim Williams turned out to be a bust, and Tyus Bowser, it seemed like some people thought he was heading that direction as well, but he showed that he had value and he was versatile for this Baltimore Ravens team. And if he does command a contract of over $10 million per year, that's a completely reasonable price for the Ravens to pay him. But how much of their cap do they want to designate to an edge player who does not put up big sack numbers in the NFL? And that's not saying, again, that Bowser isn't valuable or isn't a good football player. He has a ton of different things he can do really, really well. And for the Ravens, they would love to have him back again. I really think that is the case. But at the end of the day, I don't think the Ravens will have the cap space to re-sign a guy like Bowser, and that's really unfortunate. I do think they prioritize Yannick Ngakoue first, Matthew Judon second, and Tyus Bowser third, but you hear him praising the organization, and he kind of took the praising the organization route a bit more than Matthew Judon did. Matthew Judon did have some very nice things to say about the organization, but he was honest about it. He said, hey, look, I would love to play for a different team, and it's kind of fun and exciting to go to an organization. That thought is really exciting to me. So while that's the case, and I'm very happy that Matthew Judon was able to be kind of that honest guy about it, Bowser is someone that kind of said, yeah, we'll see what happens. And I think that's the mindset that will be good for him, because I don't think he should place too much stock into him returning to Baltimore. I also don't think he should place too much of it into not returning to Baltimore. Anything can happen in free agency for Bowser. He had a phenomenal year in Baltimore in 2020. He is going to be a very sought-after free agent during this 2021 offseason. And at the end of the day, Bowser, the Ravens, and the rest of the league know that this will be an offseason unlike any other. So you can't put too much stock into anything right now. But at the end of the day, Tyus Bowser is someone who, if he returns to Baltimore, will be a great asset. But if he doesn't return to Baltimore, it will be a great loss. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we'll be answering some mailbag questions. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need into a traditional chain storefront. Why endure from pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And we are back with our second segment of this Thursday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostrecker, your host, still hanging out with you here. And we're going to jump into a couple of mailbag questions for this Thursday episode. Our first coming from Riley M. And Riley asks, regarding the mock drafts you mentioned on the podcast, no one mentioned Alex Leatherwood or Landon Dickerson. Do you see those two as possible options if the Ravens decide to go offensive line in the first round? In my opinion, Dickerson is the kind of guy we need at guard slash center. And yeah, these two guys are prospects who I think will be taken at the very latest in the second round. They're second round prospects who have the potential to be taken in the first, although I could see a potential outcome where Landon Dickerson is actually taken in the third round just because of his extensive injury history. So we can start with Landon Dickerson. He played at Florida State in 2016 all the way up to 2018 and then moved on to Alabama and played there for 2 years from 2019 to 2020. And he's played all five positions. He has experience in all five positions, kind of like the Patrick McCurry. If the Ravens were to draft Landon Dickerson, he would kind of be in the same boat as Patrick McCurry, but I think he aligns better on the inside. He definitely has the most experience on the inside. He was able to kind of settle in the interior of the offensive line during the back half of his career, and he has a really nice build to him. He's very stout, and it's not that he has all the athleticism in the world. I think that Dickerson isn't going to win or blow anybody away with his athleticism, but he's able to get out of his stance very, very quickly, has a quick first step, and just gets onto a defensive lineman or edge guy really easily just because of that fast snap out of his stance. And so he's able to do a lot of different things, but I also think that he has to be able to stay healthy. I mean, we've seen this with Tavon Young, 3 season-ending injuries in 5 years. It doesn't matter how good the player is. If he can't stay on the football field, it's a problem. It's an issue. And the Ravens would have to kind of prepare for that scenario if Dickerson starts to go and do all this different stuff with, all right, well, Dickerson got hurt now this year, so we have to replace him here. And he got injured in this spot last year, so we have to do this now to kind of negate the loss of that. So Dickerson is a very nice prospect. I love what he brings to the table, but I think that if he's able to stay on the football field, he is a first-round pick, but I think he'll be taken in the second round because of his injury history. And part of that injury history includes a torn right ACL in November of 2016, ankle surgery in 2017, another ankle injury in 2018, and he also had some ligament damage to his left knee that he suffered late in the year this year in December of 2020. So for Dickerson, he's a great prospect, but he does have to stay on the football field. And then moving on to Alex Leatherwood, Leatherwood is someone who I can see taken anywhere from the back half of the first round to the middle of the second round. He's a good prospect too. He's a big guy. He's 6'5", 312 pounds, kind of a towering presence. He has nice strength. He's a good run blocker. He has power and is able to drive guys off of their spots. He's aggressive. The only issues with Leatherwood and why people are kind of backing off him a bit is because sometimes rushers that have flexibility can bend around him and alter their stance and alter their positioning, and that can give Leatherwood some issues. And he also didn't have a great senior week. Spencer Schultz mentioned that he didn't like Alex Leatherwood in the first round anymore just because it didn't feel like he had a great week, and it felt like other guys were just getting past him, whether they were from Power 5 schools or from smaller schools. So I think that Leatherwood might have actually dropped his stock a bit because of what happened at the Senior Bowl, and for that reason, I think that it's an issue because Leatherwood could be this great prospect, and it's just the Senior Bowl, right? Just like it's just the combine for Orlando Brown Jr., Leatherwood showed that he has a bunch of different traits that can work at the NFL level. He can play both guard and tackle, and some people project him as more of a guard. They don't really see him as an offensive tackle, but they say that they should still try him out at the tackle position just to see how he could do and what he could be at that position. But I think that with Leatherwood, he also doesn't have the best lower body either, and some of his deficiencies do come from that. So at the end of the day, these are two phenomenal prospects with some different concerns about each of them, with Dickerson's injury history and Leatherwood's poor senior week. So we'll see what ends up happening with them, but it would definitely not be a tragedy if one of those two were in a Baltimore Ravens uniform by the time 2021 rolls around. Our final mailbag question here comes from Charles Davis, and Charles asks, why is it so hard to find Lamar a true number one wide receiver? And Charles, the answer to this, it's been tough for Baltimore to find a number one receiver for a very long time. And you can go back, and I guess more recent examples of this are Steve Smith and Derek Mason and Anquan Boldin, but the Ravens have had a lot of trouble with receivers, developing them, signing them. We've seen some duds be signed by Baltimore, Jeremy Maclin and Michael Crabtree, two very recent examples I can think of. But I'm going to look at this question as kind of a, what do the Ravens need to do this offseason to find that true number one wide receiver? And honestly, I just think they can't overthink it. If Corey Davis is the best option they can afford, I think they have to go out and sign a Corey Davis. Davis is very underrated, brings the skills that Baltimore needs. Baltimore does not need that 5'10", 5'11", 195, 200-pound guy that is a speedster and can make guys miss. They have a bunch of those. They have Marquise Brown, they have Devin Duvernay, they have James Prochet, and a few others who could make contributions as well. But now it's just a matter of them finding the skill set and finding the talent. And that's why I think the Ravens should look to a more proven veteran option who's more of a stud, or at least closer to being a stud at this point. Not that veteran holdover like an AJ Green or like a T.Y. Hilton, kind of like what I was talking about with Michael Crabtree and Jeremy Maclin. The youngish star who has the potential to ascend, like an Allen Robinson or a Kenny Galladay or a Chris Godwin, but again, I don't think Baltimore's going to have the money to sign them. So if Corey Davis is the guy, he is younger, he does have the skill set, he has production. The Ravens can't just go with the veteran in draft route. It's worked before, but what Lamar Jackson needs now is someone who fits the timeline as well. So over the course of Joe Flacco's career with guys like Derek Mason and Anquan Boldin and Steve Smith, it kind of fit the Flacco timeline, but now the Ravens need to find someone who can grow with Lamar Jackson. It isn't just a holdover, isn't it? The tail end of his career. If Baltimore does end up signing a veteran, it's not the end of the world because Baltimore does need help. But it's been so hard over the course of the Ravens franchise history. Now they have to find the skill set. They can't keep bringing in the same type of player and expect better results. They have to have a good complement of guys, the speedster, the physical guy, the consistent catch guy. They have to have that consistency with different skill sets. So for Baltimore, they have to bring in more skill sets, different skill sets that complement each other and complement Lamar Jackson's game. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we get back, we'll be talking about some more mock drafts that I received from Twitter, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. There are real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return here with our final segment of this Thursday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreich, your host, still talking with you. And we're now going to get into a couple of mock drafts that I received via Twitter. And then again, if your mock draft is not read out here today, it will be read out tomorrow to round out the week on Purple Friday. But let's get into a couple of mock drafts here. First by ZJ Bateman, whose first mock draft has the Ravens taking Trevon Moehrig, the safety out of TCU. Next, he has the Ravens taking Jackson Carman at 58, the tackle. Cam Sample out of Tulane, an edge player at 104. Patrick Jones, another edge player out of Pittsburgh at 131. Daz Newsome, a wide receiver at 169. Sedarius Hutcherson, a guard at 184. And Hamikler Reshed Jr., the edge at 211. I think this draft has okay positional value. I know a lot of people are against taking a safety in the first round. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think the Ravens do have bigger needs elsewhere, but I do think safety is an underrated need. I don't want to slight Deshaun Elliott or make it sound like I'm doing that because I'm not, but with Deshaun Elliott and Chuck Clark, they're both strong safeties, and having that true free-range, ball-hawk free safety really would help this team and would allow the Ravens to do a lot of different things with their three safeties and give Deshaun Elliott, Chuck Clark, and whatever safety big playing time. Jackson Carman at 58, I think that I would honestly flip the positions at 184 and 58 if this were the case and with the roster the Ravens have now. Sedarius Hutcherson is a good player, but I think the Ravens could get value, for example, if Creed Humphrey is available. And obviously, in this mock draft, you know, I don't know who was available, who wasn't, but I would maybe look for a center or a guard instead, and then at 184, take a guy like Landon Young, who I do like a lot out of Kentucky. The two edge players, I also like this for the Ravens because, as we talked about with Tyus Bowser and the edge players that Baltimore will potentially be losing in the offseason, having some nice young guys who have shown a ton of potential at their respective schools in Sample and Jones would be really nice and give the Ravens a couple of swings to see if they could hit on either of them. Daz Newsome is another guy who I do like out of North Carolina. He is kind of smaller for what the Ravens are looking for need-wise, but I think that, again, 169 is a good place for the Ravens to pick a wide receiver if they do pick one. I don't know if I'd be on board with the Ravens taking three edge players. Obviously, the value here with Reshed Jr. out of Oregon State is good. I think that he's a sixth-round player instead of a seventh-round player, but I do think the Ravens could use that pick elsewhere at another position instead of having three edge guys who, honestly, if the Ravens take two edge guys, I think they make the roster. If they take three edge guys, I think one doesn't make the roster. So this is a decent mock draft, and then the second mock draft that ZJ Bateman has for us, he trades a first-round pick in 2022 and pick 132 and receives pick number 20, so this trade would leave Baltimore without a first-round pick in 2022, but they would have two first round picks in the 2020 draft. At pick number 20, he picks Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver. At 27, Trevon Moehrig is the pick again, the safety out of TCU. At 59, Creed Humphrey is the pick, a center from Oklahoma. At 104, Cornell Powell, wide receiver from Clemson. Cam Sample, the edge player out of Tulane, is pick 182, and Noah Gray, tight end from Duke, is pick number 213. Now, this draft for me, I do not see the Ravens taking two wide receivers. I would be shocked if the Ravens take two wide receivers, but I do like the idea of potentially trading a 2022 pick depending on what the Ravens think of the 2021 draft. I'm not saying they should trade a 2022 first round pick, but they should probably try to move some future picks around to try to maneuver their way up and down this draft. Bateman is someone who I think at pick 20, they could look at one of the better guards like a Wyatt Davis. They could look at Gregory Rousseau. But if you replace Rashad Bateman with Gregory Rousseau in this scenario, I think this is an A-plus draft. I think getting Trevon Moehrig at 27 along with Gregory Rousseau really helps that defense out. And then getting Creed Humphrey and Cornell Powell, who I do like, is a good haul. And then Cam Sample is a very good edge player who I think has a ton of potential. And then finally, Noah Gray is kind of an underrated sleeper at the tight end position. So I'd be all on board with this draft. Again, I don't think Baltimore takes two wide receivers. So if you replace Rashad Bateman here with a guy like Greg Rousseau, I think that this draft is an A-plus draft. To round out this episode, we're going to get into a couple mock drafts from Kalen Hutchinson. In his first mock draft, has the Ravens picking Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the linebacker from Notre Dame. He then trades pick 59 and 182 for pick 70, 151, and 155. And then he trades pick 70 for picks 84 and 126. With pick 84, he picks Quinn Miners, the center out of Wisconsin Whitewater. At 104, Trey Smith, the guard from Tennessee. At 126, Richard LeCount, the safety out of Georgia. At 132, Ellerson Smith, the edge out of Northern Iowa. At 151, Amari Rodgers, wide receiver from Clemson. Anthony Schwartz, wide receiver from Auburn at 162. To acquire pick 162, he traded pick 155 and got both 162 and 163. So at 163, he picks Jaime Claire Rached Jr., the edge out of Oregon State. And then finally at 213, Tariq Thompson, the safety out of San Diego State. So a bunch of different players here, a ton of them. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is someone who is one of the best players in this draft, in my opinion. I think he's getting really undervalued, to be honest. And he is someone who I think the Ravens could take a look at. He fills a lot of different needs. Obviously would, I think, fill in well on this defense. The only issue is, does Baltimore have bigger needs right now in this situation than a guy like Owusu-Koramoah? And that's a big question, but I do think that he is one of the best players in this draft. And again, if he's available, the Ravens think he's the best player on their board, I see no reason why they wouldn't take him. And then a bunch of trades here from Kalen, again, getting Quinn Miners a pick 84, Trey Smith at 104, a good guard combo right there, or a guard center combo, if you want to put Quinn Miners at center, which is what he's listed at. A couple of safeties, a couple of wide receivers. Again, I don't think that the Ravens keep two wide receivers from this 2021 draft class on the roster. I think that'd be going crazy, crazy young. Because then, if the Ravens keep six wide receivers, I'd assume here they draft two in this draft, sign no veterans. Six out of their six wide receivers going into their third year or less. I don't think that's what Lamar Jackson needs right now. A couple of safeties, though, I like. A couple of edge players I do like. This is an overall pretty good draft with a really nice player at the top of it, even though he doesn't really fill a need at this point. And then in Kalen's second mock draft, he trades picks 27 and 132 and receives picks 43 and 75. And then he trades picks 43, 103, and 169. For picks 52, 83, and 165. And with pick 52, he selects Aleem McNeil, the defensive lineman out of North Carolina State. At 59, Andre Sisco, the safety out of Syracuse. At 75, he takes Creed Humphrey, the center from Oklahoma. He then trades picks 83 and 165 and receives picks 90 and 119. He then drafts Khalil Herbert, the running back out of Virginia Tech. At 119, he takes Quincy Roche, the edge out of Miami. At 183, he takes Demarion Terry, the wide receiver from Florida State. And then he trades pick 212 and receives pick 214 and 254, where he takes Trey McKitty at pick number 214. And that's where the draft cuts off here. So for the Ravens, I like this draft a lot. I talked about Aleem McNeil on Monday, and I think he's someone who could fill a void for Brandon Williams once Brandon Williams does retire. He has another piece of that Ravens defensive line if Brandon Williams returns this season, which I do think he will, this 2021 season, which I do think he will. And for the Ravens, I think with him and Andre Sisco here, who I think is a phenomenal safety prospect, those are two really nice players to go along with Creed Humphrey. Now, Khalil Herbert, great player, don't like the pick here because I don't think it's a need. I don't think the Ravens need to draft another running back here. Again, it makes that running back room really, really young. If Baltimore does take a running back in this draft, I would expect it no earlier than round six. I've been proven wrong plenty of times here, but that's personally what I would do. And then Quincy Roche, very underrated edge player. Tamarion Terry at 183, another underrated player. And then finally, Trey McKitty at 214. I mean, does have the potential to be one of the best picks, late round picks, in this entire draft. I love this draft outside of the Khalil Herbert pick. If you replace Khalil Herbert with another guard or with a tackle potentially for the potential departure of Orlando Brown Jr., I love it. I love this draft. Or even with a slot cornerback, a backup slot cornerback, this is another A-plus draft with McNeil, Sisco, and Humphrey as the top three picks. All three of those picks honestly get an A-plus from me. So this is another great draft here. And another draft where the Ravens get better at almost every single need that they have on their roster this offseason. That's all that I have for you today. When we get back tomorrow, it's more Ravens talk from us to round out the week. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.